Reading this morning is from the New Testament. It's from Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 to 18. Finally, be strong in the Lord and his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rules, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm, then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. The word of God for the people of God.
Lord, we are listening. Thank you, Connie. Good job. Well, I hope that statement that we say every week is true for us. Lord, we are listening. I would certainly hope so. I often wonder sometimes if I'm really listening as much as I oughta. But Sometimes I wonder about that. We've been studying the. You guys mind if I roll my sleeves up? Anybody else warm? Yeah. Did you see that statistic that just came out that the women like the temperature higher, and the men like it below 70? I believe it. Boy, do I believe that. My son keeps his apartment at 64 degrees. That's insane. Somewhere between that and 70, I think, is good. So Heather and I battle it all night long. So funny. When either of us get up, you know, in the middle of the night, I'll see that she's turned it up, and I'll just turn it right back down. Yeah. In our church around here, we have three very important words. We gather together. We have a priority of gathering and worshiping in every venue we possibly can. Growing together as a people, forming a body. We are already the body of Christ, but forming that body and taking every opportunity to be closer to one another. We're taking this opportunity to grow in Christ by looking at Ephesians chapter 6. And all that's involved with Paul saying, put on the armor of God. And we'll end this actually next week on Pentecost Sunday as we talk about the Spirit of God and how the Spirit of God is involved in this process and how the Spirit of God helps us once we've put the armor on. So we gather together, we grow together, and then we just don't take the information and the things that we learn and keep them to ourselves. We like to go together. We like to tell other people about the Lord. We want to take every opportunity to help missionaries around the world, to open our church to our own community through preschool and all the other activities that we want to do to invite people into our church. So those three words are very important. But we're focusing on growing in our worship services. So we want to do a little bit of review here this morning. What does Paul believe that we need? What does Paul say that we need? We talked about the belt of truth, first off. Put on the belt of truth. Truth is a very important word, and the belt of truth is something that is kind of missing in our relationships. I love truth in a relationship. Very important. I love for you to tell me the truth, even though I might not like what you're going to say. I'd love for you to tell me the truth. It's important. The breastplate of righteousness. We said that when we accept Christ, that breastplate is really placed on us. And Paul says that you should know that the breastplate of righteousness is in place. And that the vital organs are protected by the righteousness in which God gives to you and me. You can't earn that. Nobody's shield is stronger than another. And that's important too, really, when you think about it. Nobody's breastplate is stronger than another person. Like, my righteousness is not as good as, as good as anybody here. That my righteousness is not as good as George's back there, you know. His righteousness is stronger than mine. No, we have the breastplate of righteousness, and God put that in place so that he could protect our vital organs as Christians. And today we're going to talk about feet. Ready with the gospel of peace. Ready with the gospel of peace. We're going to talk about what that really means. What is the gospel of peace? And then last, we're going to talk about the shield of faith. The shield of faith for today. I did a lot of research about shoes. I got a new couple of pairs of shoes. I got Skechers. Anybody else in here wear Skechers? You know why I bought them? They're cheaper. It's the truth. It's the truth. You know? But here, I did some research on shoes. This is what I could find out. Runners think that lots of runners we have in the church, right? You're all in such great shape, like myself. Kind of an amazing thing. We go to the beach in a couple of weeks. Actually, a week from the end of this week, it'll be a week. It's amazing. Can't believe that we're going to doing that. Some people were confused, by the way, by the picture I put in there for our anniversary. That wasn't this year. We didn't, go down to the beach and then come right back the next day. No, that was last year's picture. So, and I don't have a lot of pictures of Heather and I. Somebody say, Pastor, stay on track, will you? Okay, I will. I did some research, and I found that people who run like to wear the best equipment, like to wear the best shoes. My son is getting into great shape for the beach, lifting weights, eating right. My son-in-law is lifting weights, running every morning, and I'm kind of going the opposite direction, getting ready for the beach. Anyway. They're running. Runners, it's very important. So I found this pair of shoes, this Hoka Mafates. They are $200. That seems like a lot of money to me. Found another pair of shoes, Mizuno Wave, $230. Now, there are probably folks in here that would pay, right, $230 for a pair of shoes? No? Yeah. How about this one? New Balance has a shoe worth $350. Sorry, I ain't buying them. What? It's got a motor in it. Yeah, exactly. Here's this. I mean, you almost need to buy them on credit, Like, I'll pay the store $50 a month for 7 months. Yeah. Here's what it said. Here's what the write-up was for this shoe, okay? $350. With an MSRP, manufacturer's retail, suggested retail price. Yeah, MSRP of $300. It's like a car. With an MSRP of $350, the male only, now I don't know why it's for men only. I don't even know how they got away with that. The male only New Balance 2040s are, without question or even a serious competitor, the most expensive running shoes in the world. And they advertise it that way. Yeah. The upper is made of Horween Nubuck leather. Anybody know what Horween Nubuck leather is? Apparently it's expensive. If you have to put up, or if you have to look up whether this is an ultra-rare space-age synthetic material or a leather for exquisite craftsmanship, those shoes are probably not for you. He says, I looked it up. It's the expensive leather. The result is a running shoe that looks like it would be perfect for the secret service agents you see running alongside presidential motorcades for miles at a time. These running shoes won't raise any eyebrows at a G20 summit, although their price might cause some heartburn at the General Accounting Office. $350 for a pair of sneakers. I used to love Red Ball Jets when I was a kid. Anybody remember Red Ball Jets? They were expensive, and they had the little red ball in the back of the shoe. You guys remember that? You remember that, Harold, don't you? Red Ball Jets? Yeah, yeah. And I always thought when I got a pair of those that I'd be able to run faster. My sister remembers that, and she knows that I was just a dumb kid. But I always thought that I could run faster with my Red Ball Jets. And then when I played basketball in high school, the school would give us a pair of Converse All-Stars. Yeah, high tops. I was styling. And I'd try to wear them out fast so that I could get another pair. Oh, well. What we wear on our shoes and on our feet is obviously important. Paul says here that our feet need to have them shod or put on with the gospel of peace. And I've often asked myself, what in the world is he talking about? A couple of scriptures I want us to look at. The first one is found in, if you have your Bibles, Romans chapter 14. Now, you may notice that we have put into the scriptures, or into the emails, we put out on Thursday what we're going to be talking about on Sunday morning, what church is going to be about on Sunday morning. We send an email to you. If you're not on that list, you'll want to get on that list. Just write on a piece of paper, put it in the offering plate, we'll get it to you. But these two verses, these two portions of Scripture were found in there because I think what Paul is talking about when he talks about peace is something that that God helps us to do in life. Hear these words from verses 13 down through 19. Here's Paul in Romans 14. Therefore, let us stop passing judgment on one another. Instead, make up your mind not to put any stumbling block or obstacle in your brother's way. That's peaceful. That's unheard of today. If there's a separation, if you disagree with somebody, they hate you immediately. Isn't that weird? I think that's why we're getting all these shootings and things. You can't just disagree with somebody. They're like the enemy. I might disagree with you, but I love you, for Pete's sakes. Okay, anyways. As one who is in the Lord Jesus, I am fully convinced that no food is unclean in itself. But if anyone regards something as unclean, then for him it is unclean. If your brother is distressed because of what you eat, you are no longer acting in love. Do not, by your eating, destroy your brother for whom Christ died. See, this was a big issue in the early church, in the very early church, what people could eat and what they couldn't eat. And Paul says, it doesn't matter to God. Eat what you want to eat. And I've taken that advice very soundly. Thank you. Where was I? Pastor, stay on track, for goodness sakes. Okay, he says, for the kingdom of God, do not allow what you consider good to be spoken of as evil. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Because anyone who serves Christ in this way is pleasing to God and approved by men. In other words, whenever you try to bridge the gap between people, you are approved by God. And God says, nice job. And other people say, nice job. We don't emphasize the differences. Because anyone who serves Christ in this way is pleasing to God and approved by men. Let us therefore make every effort to do what leads to peace and to mutual edification. Let us do everything we can. Let us do everything we can to make an effort to do what leads to peace and to mutual edification. Go a couple pages over. We'll read that quickly. Romans 12, 14 through 18. Paul says it again. Bless those who persecute you. bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with everyone. Wow, huh? Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people in low position. Do not be conceited. Do not repay evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everybody. If it is possible, as much as in you lies, or as much as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Live at peace with everyone. That is tough. You know it, and I know it. But what an example of a Christian we can be. And so here's the thing. We're going to go to spend time on that phrase, as much as in you lies. As much as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Because when you're at war with everyone, you're wasting a lot of time. And the gospel of peace that is on your feet keep you in the right direction. I hope you understand what I'm saying here. When we have our feet with the gospel of peace, we're not trying to run around and tell everybody else how we're right about everything. Or we're not busy confronting other people constantly, but we're standing in peace. We're standing in peace. And you're ready to go when the Lord says go. Now, this is hard. Paul says it because he's so practical, you know? And I'm going to tell him that in heaven. I'm going to say, well, if I make it there. I'll make it, I'm sure. When I see him, I'm going to say, you know, one of the things I loved about the way you wrote, it was so practical and so real. But he says, as much as in you lies, as much as it depends on you, live at peace with everybody. There are some people in this world who will do everything possible to not make that happen. Here's my advice. If it's possible with you, avoid them. Because there are some folks that the more you go back to them and you say, hey, let's work this out, the more they fight you. So some people, the easiest way to live at peace with them is to say, you take your corner and I'll just be right here. If you want to fight with me, knock yourself out. You're going to be throwing fists into the air because I'm not going to respond. As much as in you lies, live at peace with everyone. Wow, that is tough. Again, if your feet are always battling other people, you won't be ready for the spiritual conflict that God has us living in and find out in this world. Secondly, take up the shield of faith. Nothing this earth-shattering about this. This is a Roman shield. And that I found, and I'm sure that that's what he was referring to, the Roman shield. Kind of an oblong shape and yet had corners. And he took up the shield of faith. You see, arrows can come from everywhere. From up, down, left, right, anywhere. But you see, when your faith becomes fact, the shield of faith protects you because you know it's real. When your shield of faith is based on a faith that is emotional and a faith that depends on the circumstances around you, then if the circumstances are bad around you, your shield will be weak. But if your shield of faith is based on the fact of the resurrected Christ and who he is, he says you will ward off all those arrows that come and the spears that come from the enemy. And I always peek over, and you know what I say, don't you? I always peek over to the enemy and say, is that all you got? Keep it coming. You hear him hit and fall and fall. When your faith becomes fact, there is nothing that the enemy can do to break your shield. Somebody say amen. You gotta. Because that's just the truth. Roman soldiers had a way of, you guys know this. It's interesting, isn't it? Kind of a cool picture. The Roman soldiers took their shields, and when they were, you know, they would shoot the arrows, the enemy would shoot thousands of arrows at these people, and he would just come on them from every direction. You know, the soldiers just knew how to protect themselves. And they were not vulnerable any longer. Although the guy, you know, I always look at this guy right here. Boy, I wouldn't want to be that guy. I'm sorry. But the shield of faith is not only for you, it's for the church. It's for the church. We need each other. Can you be a Christian out there with just your single shield? Absolutely. But folks, when it comes to the enemy and the war that we are in with them, they are going to do everything possible to get you and to get us. But when our church has all of our shields around, front, back, side, top, the enemy's arrows don't come through. We need each other. I often think about that too, you know, because these guys are in the middle of war. What do you bet it smells pretty funky inside that little room there? Yeah. Smells pretty funky, doesn't it? But we need each other. You and I. Can you live without the church? Yeah, probably. But we need each other. We need each other. This week on the 4th, I think, Michael said it was the 4th, right? Will be my second anniversary being here. Second anniversary. And, right. All right, so that's probably like, thank goodness we survived, right? That's the hardest thing for me, because I want to please everybody, and I can't. I can't. And I have found out recently that I'm tired. And I'm not tired from running around. I'm tired from trying to please other people. Emotionally, spiritually, physically. Can't do it. I can't. So if you want a super pastor, I don't know, there's probably some out there. But it ain't me. But 2 years we've been doing this, gang. And I like the faces I see. I like the new ones. I like the old ones. I like the tall ones. I like the short ones. I like what I see. And isn't God good? Lord, thank you. Thank you for what you're doing among us. It's good to be hot in here. God, give us the ability to fix that other air conditioner, or we're all going to be in for a long summer. Lord, bless us, though, as we serve you, really. We're your people. We're just people. We ask for your leadership and for your blessing, and help us, Lord, to always live at peace, not only with ourselves in the church, but with people outside. And if there are those, Lord, who decide that they choose to fight a war against us, let them fight. Lord, we're not going to fight back. We love you too much. There's too much at stake. So be with us, Father, I pray, as we move forward as a church, and we love you and praise you in Jesus' name. The people of God said, amen.